Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, and you can find this on page 879 of the Church Bibles. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Why would Jesus need to be baptized? It's the question that jumps out at us first in this passage, isn't it? Especially if we've read the broader context of Matthew right around this passage, as we know we're supposed to do. Just a few verses before, John the Baptist tells the crowd, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And just after our passage in chapter 4, we read of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. This is where the devil tries and fails to get him to turn stone to bread. He tries and fails to get him to cast himself down off the temple. And then finally, he tries and fails to get him, Jesus, to worship him, the devil, in exchange for all the kingdoms of the world. The verses before point to Jesus as the one more powerful than John the Baptist, the Messiah of Israel. And the verses after highlight his sinlessness. If John the Baptist is baptizing for repentance, then why is Jesus being baptized? He has no sin for which to repent. Well, it's a question that John raises right along with us. "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Look, Jesus, I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you. What are you trying to do?" John is confused. He's been preaching about the need for repentance. The Messiah is coming, and it won't turn out well for those who repent, who don't repent. So you can imagine what John is thinking. You can picture the scene there at the Jordan. You can imagine a long line of people being baptized, and he looks and he sees Jesus coming. He must think, "There he is. My work is over. Jesus, here you go. You can take it from here. You can preach today. I'll go sit in the back row." And the first thing that Jesus says is, "Let it be so now. For it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." In a way, he's saying, "John, just work with me." And so John consents. But what is happening here? Jesus is reshaping baptism. He's shaping Christian baptism, and his baptism tells us a great deal about our own. Jesus' baptism is connected with our own and with every Christian baptism down the line. And here's the point. In Jesus' baptism and in ours, we are invited into and empowered for ministry. Let me say that again. In Jesus' baptism and in ours, we are invited into and empowered for ministry. First, we're invited into ministry. We may be helped when we realize that this scene is the public beginning of Jesus' ministry in Matthew. It's the very first public thing that we see the adult Jesus doing. And it's not something he can do on his own. Nobody can baptize themselves. Notice what he says. It is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Not for me, but for us. John thinks he's finished, but he's really just getting started. Jesus invites him into this work. And John is a model of ministry for us here. Like John, we are not Christ, but like John, we point to Christ and we witness to him. I also think that it's telling that there is a connection here with the very end of the book of Matthew. The last thing that Jesus says in this book, at the end of chapter 28, is, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus' baptism is the first thing, and his command to us, his great commission, is the last. Jesus' first public act and his last have to do with baptism. There's a powerful link here between his baptism and ours that unites us to him and the commission that he gives to us. In his baptism and in ours, we're invited into ministry. But still we have the question of why Jesus was baptized. John Calvin said that Jesus dedicated and sanctified baptism in his body, in order that it might be a firm tie of the association and union which he wanted to have with us. Through his baptism, Jesus identifies with us. He is baptized not because he is sinful, but because he is in solidarity with us. He is baptized not because he shares our need of repentance and forgiveness, but so that he can share it. He's baptized not because he has sin, but so that he can take ours. He's baptized to identify with us. Through his baptism, Jesus identifies with us, and through our baptism, we are identified with Jesus. And it is through this union with Christ that we are empowered. That's the second part. In Jesus' baptism and in ours, we are empowered for ministry. How does it empower us? Look at what happens when Jesus is baptized. As he comes up from the water, the heavens were opened to him, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We see not only his identification with us, but also we see his identification with the God of Israel. There's some powerful symbolism going on here. The water calls to mind the creation story, the wind, the Spirit of God sweeping over the face of the waters, and God creating order out of chaos. Going into and coming out of the water calls to mind the Exodus, where God led them out of slavery in Egypt to safety beyond the waters of the Red Sea, and through the wilderness and into the promised land through the waters of the Jordan River, the same Jordan River. The heavens open and the Spirit of God comes down like a dove, just as the prophet Isaiah had pleaded, "Oh, that you would tear open the heaven and come down to save us." And the voice from heaven echoes our reading from Isaiah this morning. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations." What happens at Jesus' baptism affirms his identification with God and with us. Our baptisms unite us to him, to the power of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. John Calvin, again, who summed it up in this way: "Finally, our faith receives this comfort from baptism. Not only does it certify to us that we are engrafted into the death and life of Jesus Christ, but also we are so united to him that he makes us participants in all his goods." The application of this is easy to see on a day when we are ordaining and installing elders. As church leaders, elders do not rely only on themselves and their talents to get things done and to do their ministry. They are empowered by Christ. They're empowered by the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because of their relationship with Christ. Because of their baptism, they are identified with Christ and they are united with Christ. But we might easily miss something on a day like this when we ordain, when we lay hands on the new elders and pray for them and rightly celebrate their call to church leadership. What we might miss is that Jesus invites each one of us and empowers each one of us for ministry. This is the ministry of every Christian, every disciple, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. In Jesus' baptism, and in ours, every one of ours, we are invited into and empowered for ministry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.